How about you? Are you ready right now, right this very moment, to meet Jesus? People might even get the idea, oh, I'm in church, so by all means, I'm ready. Does that make us ready just because we're in church? By no means. If you're like the 10 virgins, you'll say yes, but were all 10 ready? We're going to find out today as we take a look at Jesus' parable of the 10 virgins as contained in Matthew chapter 25. So in this first section here, ready or not, as we take a look at the image, the idea of this particular image is that everyone kind of looks the same. That's the impression I want to give you. Everyone kind of looks the same here with these 10 virgins. Now, when did Jesus speak this parable? We have to go to Tuesday of Holy Week. In just a few days, Jesus knows all that is coming with himself being arrested and put on trial multiple times, being beaten almost to death, and then crucified, and then finally laying down his life. He knows all that is coming, and he's so concerned that there are so many people who are like the five foolish virgins who think they are ready, and yet they are not. Is anyone here in that category today? You probably would all say no, but God knows your heart better than you do, and he wants you to pay attention. He wants you to think about this, and he wants you so very much to be ready. Getting to our text here, Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish." The meaning here of the Greek word is five of them had little sense. Five were prudent. They were using their wits effectively. "For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps." Now, as we get into this, keep in mind the Bible uses some important symbolism that we should understand. So Jesus is the groom, and all believers, they are the bride. What's going to happen? The groom is going to show up at a completely unexpected time, and he's going to take his entire bride back to his father's house in order to celebrate the wedding feast. That's what's coming. In the parable here of the 10 virgins, all 10 of them, they thought they were Christians. They thought they were the bride of Christ. They thought they were ready. What gave that impression in part? They all looked good. I brought a replica of the lamp that they would have used. So it's a very small lamp. You can see the way it's made here. You put the oil in here, the wick comes out over here. How long would a lamp like that burn? Probably not very long, but they all had their lamps. They all looked like they were ready. What about here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church? On our membership list, we have 205 eternal souls. And probably the majority of those 205, if not all of them, they're thinking, hey, I'm on the list over there at Bethlehem Parma, so I must be okay somehow because I'm on that list. Well, some of the people on that list are okay because they know Jesus, but I'm guessing, though, that a significant chunk of them do not know Jesus. They're like the five foolish virgins. Hey, maybe I'm preaching to the choir here. I really need to go out to our inactive members and preach to them. Maybe this is a sermon that we should send them in the mail and so strongly encourage them to read through it. This is the message they need to hear. But is there somebody here too that needs to hear it? That is very likely. What about you? Are you ready right now to meet Jesus? As we think about the parable, only five were ready. They all had the lamps, but five of them had no extra oil for their lamps. So it looked good the way they were standing there, but they did not have the oil that they needed. So we might ask the question here, what is Christian oil? The Christian oil would be these vital, unseen gifts that the Holy Spirit has enabled us to receive and to remain in possession of. That's a key part of it too, not just to receive them at one time, but to remain in possession of them. Here are the things I have in mind: faith in Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins, the clothing of righteousness, the gift of eternal life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's understand that all that comes in one package. So if any of you have a single one of those items, then you have all of them. But if anyone here is without a single one of those items, that means you have none of them. God wants us to understand that. There are so many who are thinking, oh, I'm a church member, I'm a good person, I do this, I do that. But these are the things it comes down to. Do we have these blessings or not? Are we aware that we have them? Is it simply head knowledge, or do we have them within us? Have we actually received them? Do we know we are in possession of them? And then think about this. When those gifts are present on the inside, this is important. When they are present on the inside, they are going to show on the outside, both in word and in deed. So many people say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm okay, but there's nothing showing on the outside in what they say or what they do that would indicate that they are followers of Jesus Christ. So let's not pay so much attention to what people say. We know that actions speak louder than words. That is going to tell the truth of the matter. Now, we're not saying that we have to do something to be saved, but when we receive the gift of salvation, that is going to make a radical difference in our lives. Well, going on to the second part here, each person is responsible for being ready. Picking up in verse 5 of the text, Jesus said, "Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep, but at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.'" So the foolish, they were not ready. They were lacking the oil. In other words, they were lacking faith. They were lacking forgiveness. They were lacking righteousness. They were lacking eternal life. They were lacking the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So they thought they had something, and yet they really didn't. What I just named and what I named earlier, those are precious gifts of God. They are so valuable, no one can afford them, but they are offered to everyone for free. Oftentimes in life, if we see a sign and it says free, everyone's thinking, those books must be junk because they're free, right? Isn't that how life goes? But God wants us to understand the things he's offering to us for free are so very valuable, but yet they can be offered for free because the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, he has paid the entire amount so that we can receive those important things for free. How are they received? The Spirit of God works through the Word of God in order to enable people to repent and believe. It's not something we can do. The Holy Spirit has to work that within us. The Holy Spirit, he is the Lord and giver of life. He has to do it. He works through holy baptism. He works through the Bible in order to do that very important work. We cannot save other people. Let's understand that. Just like the five virgins who had the oil, they could not save the ones who didn't have any oil. In Ezekiel chapter 14, if you read that section there, the Lord himself is describing a certain number of tragic situations that he could bring upon the nation of Israel. And then he said this in chapter 14, verse 20. Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. So when I think about my family, they don't get into heaven because I'm serving as a pastor or because I have faith in Jesus. That doesn't help them. God wants us to understand that no matter what we have and what we're doing, that doesn't transfer to other people. Each person needs to receive God's gifts through Jesus. Each person in the entire world is being called to repent and believe. What about you? Has God worked that within you? Are you ready to meet Jesus now? You each have to answer that for yourselves. Let's understand there are no second chances. Continuing in the text with verse 10, Jesus said, and while they were going away to make the purchase, that would be the foolish ones, going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Looking there at the Greek word, the door was shut. In other words, it was locked. It was barred. It was put in such a way that nobody could get in, no matter how hard they tried. So the door was shut. And then the Bible says, later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. Unlock the door. Remove the bar. Give us access. That's what they were saying. But he answered them, truly I say to you, I do not know you. In other words, he was saying, we do not have a close relationship with each other. That's what it comes down to, is relationship. In a number of places in the Bible, the Lord is going to say to people, I never knew you. So there are people, so many people like the five foolish virgins, so they know about Jesus, but they don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. Let's not get mixed up by that. Even the evil angels, they know about Jesus. They know a whole lot more about Jesus than we know, but they have no relationship with him. They're not saved through him. It's so important that we have that relationship. Think about someone you know that you have a relationship with. So what do you do with that person? You spend time with that person. You talk with that person. You do things together. You respect each other. You help each other. That's relationship. When we have saving faith in Jesus, now there's this relationship with him. It's an ongoing thing. It's the most important thing that we have in our lives. When I think about people who don't come to church, what are they saying? They're saying that something in their life is more important than gathering here to hear the word of God and receiving the very body that Jesus gave on the cross and the very blood he shed on the cross to take away their sins. They're saying something is more important in my life than all of that, and therefore I'm not going to come. I'm going to go do something else. What are they saying? They're saying that I have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a good situation. When we have the relationship, then we want to spend time with him. We want to be in the Word of God. We want to come and receive and know that through his work, our sins are forgiven. These are important things for us. Let's understand that time is running out here in 2024. So we're in the final hours of this year. Think about it like this. If we go back to midnight on January 1, 2024, we could say that the year was like a wide open door, like as far as you could open the door, it was open. Now, what began to happen immediately upon the beginning of the year? Boy, that door started closing. And it's just been closing and closing and closing during the whole year. And now we're at a point where it's open about this much. And once it closes at midnight, what can we say? It will be shut, it will be locked, and it will never be opened again. We can't go back. It's done. It's over with. God wants us to know in a similar way that time is running out for those people who do not yet know Jesus. What does God want for us? He wants us to be ready. What makes us ready? That would be godly sorrow and trust alone in Jesus for heaven. Can we get that on our own? We can't. The Spirit of God wants to work that within us. And how does the Spirit of God do that work? He does that work through the Word of God. He wants us to get into the Word. He wants us to be open. God wants us to take this attitude and say, "Dear Holy Spirit, here I am, and I want you to have your way with me. However you want me to think, whatever you want me to let go of, whatever direction you want me to go in," He wants us to be completely open to His work in our lives. Jesus wants us to know Him. He wants to know us. What does that mean? He wants us to listen to Him. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to learn from Him. He wants us to live for Him. That's all getting at this knowing Him. And then Jesus, He is so excited when He arrives. He so much wants to welcome every one of us to come in and be with Him forever. Thinking about that day, are you ready? Could that happen even before midnight? If it does, are you ready to meet Jesus? Finally, here at the end, part four, it's important to always be ready. Finally, Jesus said in verse 13, "Be on the alert." In other words, keep awake, be watchful. Why is that important? For you do not know the day nor the hour. Whenever we have something coming up in our lives, we know when it's going to happen, so we plan ahead and we do it. What about things in life where we just don't know when? What are we going to do when we just don't know when? I think there's only one good choice here, and that is to always be ready. If we don't know when, we have to always be ready. What about you? Are you ready to meet Jesus? If you are, great. Praise God. If you are not, don't put it off. A phrase we probably heard before is that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. People have those intentions. Yes, in the new year, I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to be open to God. I'm going to be serious about this. And then something else comes up, and it just quite never happens. So people can have good intentions, but don't put it off. Now is the time to be very serious about the things of God. Now is the time to be ready. And by the grace of God, may He keep us in the Word. May He keep us close to Jesus. May He keep us always ready. I'm excited one day about being with all of you forever and ever in the awesome presence of God. May He grant that to every single one of us. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we are certain You will return, but we just don't know when. Therefore, dear Holy Spirit, make us ready, always keep us ready, so that Jesus will welcome us in when he arrives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.